He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, joined today by somebody who I should have had this on the show forever ago. We actually did a brief little time. We did have like a setup where we were doing shows fairly regularly with each other, just for a brief little stretch there. He is Trevor Lane of Lakers Nation. You cannot spell his last name without LN. It's just a part of his fiber. He is the face of the biggest platform out there in terms of Lakers blogs and team blogs in general. Trevor, thank you very much for making time for us.
Hey, no problem, Anthony. Happy to come on here. And you know, there, as usual, there's nothing going on in the world of the Lakers, so I have no idea what we'll even talk about. But I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, we'll do like a top five Kobe moments. We'll just see where this all takes us. Again, I am Anthony Irwin, Lakers insider for Lakers Daily, contractually obligated to say that. Today on the show, we're going to be talking about the state of the Lakers, and I think we're getting a lot of input from around the league, and we're getting a fairly clear message potentially here about how the Lakers are seen in league circles. And I want to have a conversation about that and on that noise and how serious that is. We're going to talk about whether this is fixable potentially, if there are things that need addressing, if they can be fixed in the short and long term. And then finally, if there's time at the very end of the show, I want to talk about LeBron's decision, because these last 48 hours or so, this is the first time that I've really sat here and thought, man, this could get a little sketchy. If I'm LeBron, I don't know how I would feel about this. So I'm going to ask Trevor, and I'm going to ask you, the audience, about how you would handle the situation if you were LeBron James and you had this player option ahead of you. A quick reminder, please do hit that subscribe button wherever you guys are watching live right now. If you guys are watching on Twitter, head on over to youtube.com/@LakersLounge, where you can find the show there. And then if you're listening to the show in audio form in the morning, please do hit subscribe wherever it is that you get your podcasts, and tell your friends about the show. Tell your friends you love the show. Tell your enemies you hate it. But let's dive on in. Trevor, what, like, from 1,000 miles up, right? However high up you want to be sitting here as you're looking down here at the Lakers. If I was to ask you, or if you were to just, you know, quickly describe, or take your time in describing, the state of the Lakers right now, is this like where do things stand for you as you're looking out on how everything is transpiring this offseason?
I mean, I think it's very much in flux right now. I think if we're really looking at this from a plane, we're looking at that macro level and we're getting ready to skydive. We don't know if we're landing on a mountain. We don't know if we're landing in a desert. We don't know if we're landing in the ocean. We have no idea what the landing spot is ultimately going to be for this team, because there's just so much that's up in the air right now. We don't know who the coach is, and we're a couple of weeks away from the NBA draft. That's not great. We don't know exactly what the decision-making process is going to look like in terms of what path do they go down. Are they going to try to pursue a 3-star roster build? Is it going to be a 2-star build with depth around them, which I think is the most likely case? What does LeBron think about all of this? You were just talking about him. How does he fit into this? He's got that player option. What happens with D'Angelo Russell? What does his market look like? There's so much out there that is unknown at this point. And I'll tell you what is most concerning with that is I don't know really what the plan is, right? Like, some teams, we kind of have a sense of this is what they're going to do. Like the Spurs, we know, okay, the Spurs, they got Wemby. Great. They're set. They're going to try to make some moves to progress and move up and ideally become a playoff team next year. We know what the path is for them. We know the Lakers would like to win. How exactly do they want to accomplish that? What kind of a coach do they want? What kind of a style do they want? And Anthony, that's one of the things that I like best about the Dan Hurley pursuit, was I went, okay, here it is. Here's a path. They're going to build a program. right? They're going to build a pro. This is going to be the plan. They're going to build a program. They're going to bring in some young talent that they're going to let Dan Hurley develop, and they're going to rein in their pursuit of stars, and it's going to be a team built in the reality of the new NBA with a collective bargaining agreement that's going to prevent them from just spend. And so that was going to give me some sense of this is what the plan is. Now, with Dan Hurley staying in UConn, I don't know what the plan is. And my biggest concern is that the Lakers don't quite know what the plan is yet either. And that's what worries me.
Yeah, that's the thing that, you know, since, you know, so essentially, and I've said this on the show, heading into that Sunday night range, I was asking around, how does this look? How do you feel? Like, what are the chances here that the Lakers actually get their guy? Because the Lakers had a lot riding on this. Like you're talking about, their entire identity moving forward here was going to be wrapped up in this whole notion of Dan Hurley's program. So I was like, well, if they have this much riding on it, what are the chances? How confident are they? All this stuff. And Sunday night and on into Monday morning, the people that I were talking to, I would say the overwhelming response was, we think he's staying at UConn. I think a lot of people were in the dark. The Lakers themselves, I was told, were in the dark on Monday morning, where it was like, yeah, we liked how the meetings went, and we feel like the offer that we made him is compelling enough that we have a chance here. But they were waiting just like the rest of we were. And that to me, like the title of this episode is, or for at least for YouTube, is did Dan Hurley pull one over on the Lakers? And the fact that the Lakers were even kind of in the dark on Monday morning and didn't know how to feel about that, it tells me a lot about their intel, their assessment of intel around the league. And one of the things that like the Clippers do is they basically employ people to go to games and just talk to people. They're just always gathering intel. They have like, it's, you know, everybody thinks of scouting for personnel. You have your foreign scouts, you have your college scouts, you have your pro scouts, all of the stuff. But then also what a lot of these really smart organizations and organizations that have money to spend will do is they'll go out and they'll get somebody to just go stand at games in various regions of the country and just talk to people. What are the whispers looking like? How is this going? How are the breeze? Like, do you finger to the air, throw some grass up in the air and see which way the wind is blowing. And the Lakers don't have people like that really. And I think like the way it played out here with Dan Hurley actually reminds me a lot of the Kawhi Leonard situation, where with Kawhi, the Lakers were adamant. They were confident we're getting him. Like they thought for sure that Kawhi was coming. And then all of a sudden at the last second, you had him decide, he calls up OKC, he calls up Paul George. They figure out that trade and Paul George and Kawhi wind up in with the Clippers together. And again, I just think there's an intel deficiency, and it makes you open to the opportunity that maybe Dan Hurley pulls one over on you and uses you for leverage here to get a better deal in a spot with UConn. Do you think that's on the table? Do you get the sense, or do you think that Dan Hurley took the Lakers as seriously as the Lakers very clearly were taking Dan Hurley?
I think the truth with two extremes being, number one, he was completely 100% locked in on going to the Lakers and really exploring that possibility. And the other thing being, he played the Lakers, right? He knew that this was going to be leverage and never really considered them. I think the truth lies somewhere in the middle. I think this makes the most sense. I think that Dan Hurley went into this, and to some degree Woj probably as well, right? Went into this knowing it's a no-lose situation. He and Woj, to a degree as well, are the only parties in the situation where there is no downside. There's no issue with this where he comes out looking bad. The worst case is either UConn's going to pay him more or the Lakers are going to give him a bunch of money. The one thing he loses is an afternoon to fly to LA. That's it. And that's what it costs him, right? So for Dan Hurley going in, I'm sure he had some interest in the Lakers job. but was he completely committed to really exploring this and open-minded? I don't know. But if I'm him, I'm looking at it going, man, I get connected to the Lakers. Look what's happened so far this summer. Jason Kidd got connected to the Lakers, got paid. Ty Lue got connected to the Lakers, got paid. Dan Hurley's probably going, damn, you know, hey, might as well, because worst case, I'm getting paid by somebody. Somebody's going to give me a whole bunch of money. Even if I wind up staying here at UConn, they're going to pay me more. So it was a no-lose situation for him.
Yeah, I think like right now you're basically having this entire like Woj and Shams feud over the Lakers head coaching search or whatever. I just saw this clip before we went live. This is Shams on Pat McAfee's show for ESPN. A pretty obvious dig that he gives to Woj here.
So listen, if the Lakers want to go hire James Borrego, they've had a month to hire James Borrego. Mm. They've had a week, this week after losing out on Dan Hurley, I guess, they've had this time to go get James Borrego.
I guess they could have gotten Dan Hurley. And the thing with the whole Woj and Hurley, and did the two of them use the Lakers? The place where that theory kind of falls apart to me is that Woj has a very good relationship with Rob Pelinka. Like, that is, Rob has done his show in the past. If you go to Vegas Summer League, or anytime Woj goes to Lakers games, the person he's talking to for basically the entirety of his time while the Lakers are on the court tends to be Rob. They have a very good relationship. I don't think Woj would use Rob in that way. But still, there's plenty of noise. Like, a lot of the people that you talk to are like, at the very, very least here, Hurley was less into the Lakers than the Lakers were into Hurley. And that is, I think, the truest form of the situation here, where, like you're saying, Dan Hurley saw it as an opportunity. Maybe, just maybe, he walks away with the head coaching gig and potentially the identity of the marquee franchise in the NBA is going to be Dan Hurley. It's going to be the Dan Hurley Lakers. Like, it's going to be right there. That's going to be what this could possibly look like. Or, I love my life in Connecticut. I get the opportunity to go for a three-peat here for the first time since the wooden UCLA Bruins. And I'll be able to get that opportunity for more money. So like you're saying, it's a win-win for him. But to me, like, for the Lakers, I've gotten the sense that they were pretty floored by Hurley's decision to stay at UConn, and now they're really kind of scrambling together that list of candidates all over again. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is like, when you watch great basketball players, they are never visibly shaken on a basketball court. Right? Like, if LeBron sees a zone, he's not like, oh my gosh, what do we do? What do we do? I've never seen a zone before. And this is where the Lakers, I think, you should never be shaken by a decision that is out of your control. And that's the sense that I get right now. So when you talk about like how in flux the Lakers feel right now and the current state of the organization, that to me is my biggest takeaway, is that like the Lakers right now are far too shaken than the Los Angeles Lakers should ever be by way of a decision that, a potential head coach candidate could make. Do you get that sense too? Does the analogy make sense to you there?
Yeah. What my understanding is that there isn't much of a plan B. It's kind of, okay, well, now we have to really scramble. And I liken it to the Kawhi situation, where Kawhi said no, and what happened immediately? Danny Green signs, right? It's boom, boom, boom. All these signings, the backup plan fell into place, and we were off and running. Were people disappointed? Yes, but there was a very clear backup plan. And I think part of this is the state of the coaching market. Look, if there was somebody out there that was clearly the next guy, that backup plan would be in place. But the coaching market is, I mean, let's face it, it's a pretty shallow pool right now. And so this happened. The Lakers were really hoping it was going to work, and it didn't. And so now they've got a scramble, and there wasn't a clear fallback plan. And again, that clock is ticking, and you've got the draft coming up in a couple of weeks. So, yeah, I think that they are scrambling, doing everything they can to try to figure out what they're going to do at this position now, because obviously they've got to find somebody. I think they really hoped it was going to be Dan Hurley. I was a little bit surprised the offer wasn't higher, that they didn't come, they didn't come stronger with that offer. Given that the alternative was, oh no, now we have, now we're really in trouble and we've got to try to find something.
Yeah.
I thought if that was the case, the offer would reflect that kind of, I don't want to say desperation, but determination to get Hurley. Yeah. And it didn't really. So I don't know exactly where they pivot to from here. I think honestly, they probably have to wipe the slate clean, restart the whole process, and then take another look at all the candidates that are available.
Yeah, Krangis of the Lakers Exceptionalism Pod put together a tweet that I think really kind of, you know, for those, because I've been reluctant to use the word lowball because Dan Hurley would have been a top five or six highest paid head coach in the NBA. But it's like lowball adjacent, right? It's not that like in a vacuum, 6 years, $70 million to a rookie head coach. That doesn't shock me. But it also, given the situation and given what the Lakers were asking of him, like you really need to make him the godfather offer there. And you make a great point about like your alternative here isn't good enough to be like, oh, we could get you, or we could just move on. Cause clearly that isn't the case, but Cran just put together a tweet here. I'll show it on the screen. Of the difference or some of the finances that go into this, $70 million over 6 years in LA is roughly $5.67 million take home per year. $50 million over 6 years coaching UConn is about $5.01 million take home per year. So per Nerd Wallet, to maintain store standard of living in LA, you'd need about $7.07 million take home per year. So the Lakers were about $1.5 million short of even a laterally priced offer to Dan Hurley. And that really paints a tough picture, right? Like you're asking anytime you're trying to get somebody away from something that they love, something that they've built, a city that they have grown roots in, you have to overwhelm them with an offer to really make them consider it. And, you know, like shoot, I was at Locked On and Vox made me a full-time offer. And I was like, I love Locked On. I've built this thing from the ground up. I love the direction that this thing is going, but also I'm about to have a kid on the way. I have to take the medical benefits while I can get them. And that was the overwhelming offer that Vox prepared for me. And I took that offer. In this case, this is like going to Dan and Dan Hurley and being like, all right, we know that you have the opportunity to make history. We know that your wife loves the East Coast. We know that your dad loves the East Coast. We know that, you know, you're going to be coming here to a more volatile situation where you're going to be climbing uphill to make this thing work. How's basically the same amount of money or even less than the same amount of money look and your standard of living, like potentially decreasing a little bit? How's that go for you? And that's a tough sell. That's a really difficult sell. And you know, the really, really difficult part of all of this is that Hurley basically told the Lakers what it would have taken. That John Fanta report from Fox Sports, where he says that the Lakers were, you know, he was hearing $100 million offer. John Fanta doesn't cover the Lakers, doesn't cover the NBA. He covers college basketball. That was pretty clearly, you know, coming from somebody near Dan Hurley's camp or college basketball's kind of area. That's why when I heard that, I went to my Lakers people and I was like, do you think that the Lakers would be able to prepare this kind of an offer? And I was told, yeah, we think so. There's a little hesitancy, but like, yeah, we think so. And that's why when the final numbers came out, I was actually shocked. It's like, he told you. The answer to the quiz was right there. The teacher wrote it on the board and you were still like, yeah, but still, what if? What do you take from the offer? Do you take from that, like the Lakers have budget issues? Cause I saw Stephen A. Smith kind of calling him broke, on First Take this morning. What do you take from that kind of an offer there?
I think it's a situation where they weren't adapting to the new market. I don't know if I want to say they're broke. I mean, this is one of the most valuable sports franchises, not in the NBA, but on the planet, right? Yeah. I'm not going to cry poor for the Lakers here, but when I look at what's happened in coaching salaries, right? A couple of years ago, Darvin Ham got $5 million per year, and that was seen as pretty good. You know, that's a pretty solid salary, right? Yeah. Now the new norm, just a couple of years later, and we could talk about the CBA implications and all that. But a couple of years later, it's about 10 million, right? 10 million plus. That's what we're seeing guys get. And that's the other thing. When I look at that Hurley offer, I think, okay, that's pretty good for right now. Maybe not compared to what he's getting in Connecticut and all that, but in terms of the general overall coaching market, that's pretty good. But it's not going to look that good a year from now or 2 years from now, once some of these coaches who haven't gotten new extensions get caught up and get brought up to the new reality that about 10 million is kind of normal now in the coaching market. So when I look at that offer, I think the Lakers, did they really go after him the way that they needed to? Not really. Not to a point where I wanted people to say, good Lord, Dan Hurley is insane if he turns down that number. That's what I want. I want the narrative to flip and have it go, Dan Hurley's a madman. The Lakers did everything they could, and Dan Hurley's just, he's crazy. I can't believe he turned that down.
Yeah. Nothing was going to get him out of Connecticut. Like, if that's not going to get him out of there, nothing will.
Exactly. And the other piece to this that, you know, is a little bit concerning, right, is under the new collective bargaining agreement, we look at the new salary cap tiers. Everything is done to suppress teams from spending, right? And this is aimed at Steve Ballmer. It's aimed at the Warriors. It's aimed at these teams that can spend. But there is no salary cap for coaches. And to me, that's where being the Lakers needs to matter. That's where being the Lakers needs to matter, because that's the place where it should. That's the place where the NBA isn't legislating in parity. That's the place where you should be able to say, hey, we're going to spend this much, we're going to offer this much, because we're the Lakers and we can. And again, I'm not going to cry poor for them when they're one of the most valuable sports franchises on the planet. So that was a little bit disappointing, particularly if the thought process is, this is the guy. The future of the team post LeBron is going to be built around a program. And this is the guy that we need to run it. Then what are you doing? If this is the guy, then you do what it takes to make sure you go get him, or you want to make it something that it's crazy for him to turn. Like, he's just, there's no dollar amount that was ever going to keep him there. And that's not ultimately where we landed, which maybe begs the question, did they really see him as the guy? Maybe they didn't, but that sure seemed to be what was getting put out there, was that he was the guy that they wanted to make a focal point of this team moving forward into a post LeBron era. But the numbers just didn't reflect that.
Yeah, it's a version of, like, the Lakers have seemed kind of reluctant to go all in on the LeBron James and Anthony Davis era, especially in recent years. Obviously, they didn't do anything at the most recent deadline. At last year's deadline, they said that they wanted to hold on to a pick to potentially, use it at this upcoming draft and all these things. And they've always kind of played things, they've kind of straddled that fence of, you know, building, obviously, and giving LeBron and AD something of a chance to compete in the right now, but also with an eye towards what happens after LeBron and AD. And I just think, like, the lesson that I've taken from the way that these playoffs have come out is that you can't be 50-50 on stuff. You're going to be, you either have to go full rebuild, or you have to go full compete now. And I think the same can be said about this coaching market, where you have to be fully supportive of whoever it is that you're going to hire right from the get-go with that kind of a crazy offer, or you have to play things a lot closer to the vest and not make it known that, like, okay, we really feel like we're going to get this guy. It's the other part of this is, and it offers us a decent segue here. The other part of this is coaches are kind of sort of letting us know. Like, when you listen to people around the league talk about the Lakers job and other people covering, you know, the rest of the league as a whole, the takeaway tends to be, yeah, the Lakers see it as this incredible honor. You get to coach the Lakers. You get to walk the hallways that Phil Jackson walked, and you get to, you know, man the sidelines that Kobe and Magic and Kareem and Shaq and LeBron have either formerly sat on or played for or currently do. And yet, to a lot of people, it's seen as another job. And it's just, it's an opportunity. It's maybe a little bit better than most because of that cachet around the league. But to a lot of these coaches, they walk away from their conversations with the Lakers like, they think that they can underpay coaches because it's coaching the Lakers. And I just don't necessarily think that they can continue to think of things that way. There is, in my opinion, nobody doing this better than Lowe. He's insanely plugged in. And when he offers up analysis, it's usually coming from a place, an educated place. He said something along these lines this morning for ESPN.
I wasn't surprised, and I'm less surprised now that Woj mentions an $8 million figure from UConn. 8 versus 12, you factor in taxes and cost of living, the thing shrinks, the gap shrinks. And look, like, he's got it made in the shade at UConn despite all the changes in college basketball. He's the king of college basketball. The Lakers' job is not that great of a job.